You're listening to WRFU LP Urbana 104.5 FM. If you can hear us, you can be us. WRFU 104.5, community radio, homemade by the community, for the community.
Good afternoon, everyone. Oh, this is WRFU LP calling. Urbana, WRFU is an open forum for the Urbana Champaign community. Views expressed are those of the speakers and are not intended to represent WRFU UCIMC. Also, Bishop, we are streaming live at WRFU.net. This is Reverend Dr. Evelyn Underwood, and you, sir?
Dr. Bishop King James Underwood.
And you, sir?
Deacon Bobby Gilner.
And we're here to serve you for the next hour, and we're excited to be here to seek to encourage, enlighten. What else, Bishop? Give insightful information and the like. And at this time, we are going to sing. Well, Bishop will sing a prayer, and I will give a prayer.
Are you ready?
And Deacon Bobby Gilner will give a prayer, and then we'll go further into our program. Yeah, go further into our program. We're going to pray. We're going to have a special guest calling in on today, Pastor Tad Burnett from California, Ontario area. And at this time, we're going to have Deacon Bobby. We're going to have Deacon Bobby Gilner to give us a prayer in word. Pastor Ted, do you want to give us a prayer? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Do you want to give a prayer too?
No, it's fine.
Okay, so we have Deacon Bobby give a prayer, and then I give a prayer in word, and Bishop give a prayer in song, and we'll go further in our program with our special guest. Yes.
Father God, I come to you giving you all the thanks, praise, honor, and glory, even on your name, and also I come to you in some of this I know how in prayer concerning us all as your creation, the condition that we're in, our lives, I leave in your hands according to my soul. And though I can't put all this prayer into words, I just pray that you take it into your hands and make it to be so upon our lives. Throughout our lives in the best possible way. Help us, Father God. Help us throughout the situation, circumstances, and conditions that we're going through right now. Help us with our governments and leaderships according to this prayer. Continue to shine your love, compassion, mercy, righteousness, forgiveness, and grace on us. And continue to help us with the demonic activities and heal us where we need to be healed, Father God, even on weight conditions. And conquer the things in our lives that need to be conquered. And help us all with our conduct, behavior, and attitude, and personality, and ways in which we form opinions. Continues to bestow your great blessings on our lives and cause us all to be on the best of pathways and open all those things that need to be open and close what needs to be closed. I pray that you miss no one, no place, or no thing in this prayer for the God. And may your cross prevail in our lives in a mighty way and all that it stands for. Do the unthinkable. Do the impossible for us. And make a mighty difference in our lives for the God, from one end of your creation to the other. And help us on the radio show today in a very special way for the God, that we may accomplish your will. Be your will. In your son Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I can see when I'm talking from this microphone, seemingly we're going up. Bishop, say hallelujah from yours and see what happens.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it works. Deacon Barber, say hallelujah from yours.
Hallelujah.
Say it again, yeah?
Hallelujah.
It's not going. I don't know what is going on, but I want to make sure yours is being heard too, Bishop.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
It's not up.
It's a little lower,
but it's still there.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't have his mic on.
What I did, what I was supposed to do here, let me see right here, and just like the picture says, just like here. Now try again.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
See, Bishop, I don't know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray, and by the time we get through praying, God's going to work this thing out. And see, Bishop, mine is going fine. It's something, but it's just like the picture is saying, that the way we're supposed to do it in Jesus' name. Father God, work this thing out. In your name, Jesus, we thank you. You know why we are here. We're here, Lord, to encourage at a time like this. We know all the things that are going on. We are not ignorant. We know what's going on, Lord Jesus. We are aware of things that's going on. We are praying about things that's going on. We are asking you, what role do we play? What is our duty? What is our responsibility in for lifting up the kingdom of God? That's what we want to do. That's what our responsibility is. Discipleship, discipling folk, but Lord, too, the downtrodden, we're supposed to lift them up. And Lord, that's what we were trying to do in various areas. And this one program that we got here, that we do every Saturday from 4 to 5, which Central Time, we're seeking to lift you up. And you said in your word that if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men unto you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us to lift you up do everything to your glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You said in your word, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and you will give them rest, Lord. They need to take your yoke upon them and learn of you. And what? They will find rest unto their soul. Jesus, you said that your yoke is easy and your burdens are light. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, Father, that you said in your word, Lord, that we can use your word, Lord. We can use your word. We can use your name to tell Satan, in the name of Jesus, that we bind him and every principality, every power, every ruler of darkness, spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places, every evil spirit, every demon spirit, and every spirit that is not of you, O Lord, that has been and trying in the name of Jesus to operate against us, to come against us. We can bind them in your name, using your name, Jesus, not getting bitter and not getting angry and rage. No. Using your name and showing love, but let the devil know, in the name of Jesus, that we bind him. We can do that, Lord. Additionally, Lord, you said that we can cancel every hex, vex, spell, jinx, work of witchcraft, divination, black magic, psychic mind control, new age sorcery, and bewitchment sent to oppose us. We can cancel them out. Every attack of oppression, depression, perversion, distraction, hindrance, and deception in Jesus' name. We can cancel them all out in Jesus' name. And what are we doing? We're using your word and showing your love. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Who can fight against that? Yes, the devil gonna come against us, coming back again. But we can use the same word, use the same name, and show the same love in Jesus' name. So, Lord, as we go forward in our program today and allowing our pastor, who's involved in so much, helping people, feeding people, the Poor People's Campaign, the NAACP, doing all the work that your kingdom may come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, let him share with us something that need to be shared. And have, Lord, let the people listen to it because it's so important. It's so important, Lord God, for them to hear this and to be aware of what's coming down so they can use the word of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes.
Oh, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Oh, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, his mic is working. Won't you take his mic close to yours, Deacon Bobby?
When it's time to talk.
Now? Yeah, and just take it now. Yeah. And, yes. And put that phone near there so we can make sure that he's being heard. And you can talk maybe in yours, but I think it'd be okay. Say something now.
Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Great, great, great. Now, you want to introduce this?
Okay, so today we have a special guest. His name is Pastor Ted Burnett, and he's going to be talking to us today about SNAP. Amen?
Pastor Burnett?
Yes, yes I am. Thank you so much. Tell me when you want me to get started.
Go ahead. Now's the best time.
Okay. So, thank you for having me. Just wanted to give people a brief introduction to SNAP benefits. Does everybody understand about SNAP benefits? And excuse me, SNAP benefits are what we call food stamps.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people understand that the SNAP benefits are the same food stamps that we used to our grandparents and stuff and parents used to get back in the days. You know the food coupons that came in the books, and they, the increments, if y'all remember, the number one dollar bill, they came with the founding fathers on them, and then the other increments had Hamilton and then Jefferson on them. So we all know what those food stamps represent people to help people get by when they were in need. And, you know, that was also with the government cheese and the powdered milk that they used to give out. And everybody knows that, you know, if your mother and father and them told y'all back in the day to make sure that y'all, the night before, y'all make that powdered milk, because the worst thing in the world was having warm milk in the cereal. And so those are the same benefits we're talking about. And the food stamp program started during the Great Depression in 1939, and it was introduced to address hunger, you know, support farmers facing surplus crops, and in 1964, it expanded permanently to become the SNAP benefit program from the which was started and operated under the Farm Bill. And so that's what SNAP means, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And it's the largest anti-hunger program, and it serves a diverse population. And, you know, over 42 million Americans, including Guam and Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, all benefit from the SNAP benefits. And one of the biggest misnomers is the fact that more blacks own get food stamps than whites and Latinos. And the breakdown is like 44.2% non-Hispanic white, meaning white people get food stamps. 26.9% black, Hispanic, 24%, Asian is 4%, and Native Americans, 1.3%. So all that stuff that you hear in the myths about more blacks are on food stamp is a dog whistle. It's not true. And these facts come from the USDA website of fiscal year 2023. And so one of the narratives and myths is that people are getting rich off food stamps. We know people are not getting rich off of food stamps. And another myth is that black and minorities are the largest recipients, like I said before, and that's not true. And, you know, if y'all remember, back in Ronald Reagan days, he used dog whistle politics with saying the welfare queen, and he used that to negatively influence public opinion about who got the food stamp, because they wanted to cut them. And so the current administration is using an abuse as the new dog whistle. And so that's what's going on. And so, you know, we have to look past those myths and understand that that rhetoric was part of a broader narrative that sought to justify cuts to the social safety nets by, really portraying recipients as misusing benefits. And like, for instance, when the Republicans called Obama the food stamp president. So those are all myths and dog whistles that negatively affect helping the poor. But the facts are that, you know, 29.4 million children participate in the school lunch program, which provides free and reduced meals to 94,000 schools in the United States. And over 39% of those recipients in the households are children, and 20% are elderly, you know, like Meals on Wheels and everything else. And 10% are non-elderly individuals with a disability. And so if you look at the facts, the average benefits that people receive is only $177 per month per person, which is over $6 a day. And you know you can't go anywhere
to the
grocery store and buy anything for $6 a day. Go ahead. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just saying you are so right. Get closer to your mic so you can get louder. Yes.
Okay. All right. How is that better?
Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. And so we know that you can't be eligible for food stamps unless you reach a financial threshold. And a lot of people who got a family of four, a family of five, and they work for the state or work for the government or work for the city or the county, they're eligible for food stamps because of the high cost of living in the area and housing and gas prices and everything else. So, you know, the reason why they decided to go on this adventure to cut SNAP benefits was they passed a tax cut and job act in 2017, that was the biggest transfer of wealth in our history. And they reduced the corporate rate taxes from 35% to 21%. And by that tax and job act, which we call the Republican tax plan in 2017, was the biggest transfer of wealth in our history at the time, and it was temporary. So it gave tax breaks to the rich and then taxed the middle class and the poor. And so that's why they started cutting food stamps now. So that Republican tax plan of 2017 was set to expire in December of 2025. And so what they had to do, they had to come up with a plan to be able to control how are we going to repay the billionaires for giving money to our campaigns? How are we going to reward them when the tax cut of 2017 was temporary? Remember I said December 2025. So they came up with the Big Beautiful Bill. And the Big Beautiful Bill replaced the tax cut of 2017, and it made it permanent. And so that's when they signed the Big Beautiful Bill in July of 2024. And so it permanently extends those tax, the Tax Cut and Job Act, and it actually is now second to only the tax break of 2017. The Big Beautiful Bill is now the biggest transfer of wealth in our history, and they continue to tax take income and benefits from the poor with Medicaid and food stamps, and they replace it with increasing the defense bill, which is now up to $20 trillion now that they spend on the military, and then they continue to give $150 more billion for the Department of Homeland Security to support the ICE. And so in the course of the next 8 or 9 years, they're going to cut $186 billion from the food stamps. And so you say, okay, we don't understand now that the Job and Tax Cut Act of 2017 was permanent. Now the Big Beautiful Bill replaces it and it's permanent. It was temporary, but now it's permanent under the Big Beautiful Bill. So what people are saying, okay, now that we understand why they did it and where it came from, how is it going to affect people? And what it does is it has age requirements on from 18 to 64 for people, able-bodied adults, now have to be able to work 80 hours a month or 80 hours of volunteer work in order to get their stamps. And if they don't reach those requirements, then they get 3 months of food stamps, and then they cut you off for 3 years. So it's not right. It's draconian. It's oppressive. And then what they're doing to single parents is that before they gave single parents who had kids exemption under the age 18, and it was called the caregiver exemption. But now, under the big beautiful bill, they changed the age to 14. And so if you have a kid who 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, under 14, then you're good. You meet the eligibility requirements. But if you have a kid who's 15, 16, or 17 and still in school, you have to meet the minimum requirements of the 80 hours of work or 80 hours of volunteer time. So now parents will be forced to leave their children home alone because of this new restrictive requirements to reach people. And so now, not only are they cutting out able-bodied adults who is that age, they're also cutting out the kids under above from 14 to 18. And now there was a group that they used to take care of that there was a group that they take care of, like if you was an asylum seeker or homeless or a veteran, that they used to take care of because that was the right thing to do. Now, they're cutting them out also. They're not even eligible for it now. And all those vulnerable groups that were protected from meeting the work requirements, now the big, beautiful bill, I put them at risk. Like I said, the veterans, the homeless, even youth who age out of foster care. So if you was in foster care your whole life and you became 18 and wanted to do something in your life, they usually protected you, but on the big, beautiful bill, they don't now. And they're not giving any that many medical waivers or anything else. And so the only people who are exempt for the waivers are like Native American, some Alaska Natives, people who are on unemployment. And but it's at your state has to, your unemployment rate has to be over 10% in order for you to get that waiver. So when people talk about those things occurring, they have to understand that now people have no waivers. And they say, okay, well, what happens if they have to meet the requirement? What about the safety net? Well, of March of last year, they cut $1 billion. This administration cut $1 billion from the program that was a safety net for feeding hungry Americans. And the trucks was literally on the road, and when they cut that, they turned the trucks around, and we didn't receive our food or anything else. And so they took $500 million from LEFPA program, LFPA, which is the Local Food Purchase Assistance program. And what that did, when farmers gave food to the community, they got a write-off. They also, that program, LEFPA program, also supplemented and reimbursed food pantries, food banks, and like I said, continue to put more fresh vegetables in the food desert in the small communities. And so they cut $500 million from that in March of 2025, a year before they cut the food stamps. So there was no safety net. And also the TIAP program, which is the emergency food, the temporary emergency food assistance program. And what that did, that supported supplemental food banks, the nutrition programs, Meals on Wheels, and the school lunch programs. So all of that was cut a year ago, right before they cut food stamps. So there is no safety net there. And so, you know, states like Illinois just last week passed a bill called the FRESH program, which will give like $17 million to residents who got cut off, but it's only a one-time payment of $400, and that's it. So that's not enough, but it helps a little bit. And then under the FRESH program, they give money to the school lunch programs, and then money to the food banks to help, but that's only like 10, 12 million each for those programs, which is not going to take care of the needs of the people. And so there, and the hidden cost under all of this is that the state of Illinois don't have enough money to even cover all of that, because there is something called the error rate. And the error rate is at a certain percentage of processing SNAP benefits. And, you know, and it's really found that during the processing of SNAP benefits, what occurs is when questions are not answered properly or calculated by the worker or the client, it's a miscalculation. They might be missing data, but most errors occur out of honest human error and not fraud. And so there is something called the error rate, and the federal error rate is at 6%. Okay? So anytime you go over 6%, you have to pay a financial penalty back to the federal government out of your own state money. And so because the federal rate error rate is at 6%, California is at 12%, Illinois is at 12% error rate. So anything over 6%, like California and Illinois have, that will trigger a financial penalty, and and Illinois will receive fewer federal funds from the SNAP program due to the elevated error rate. And remember, the federal is 6%. Illinois is currently at 12%, so that 6% they're going to have to pay will trigger a financial penalty that they have to pay out of the general fund. And say, for instance, Illinois has an error rate of 12%. Even though they cut 150,000 people off of SNAP out of May 1st, 2026, because of their error rate, the cost of that error rate from 6% and 12%, you know, from the federal and what Illinois rate, is $700 million. So they have to deal with paying that out of the general fund, and that takes away money from being able to try to feed the people. And so these work requirements have already started across the United States in May 2026. And California started June 1st because their system, the CalSTAR system, was so large and everything else like that. So these are already hitting people, and they don't know what's going to work or how it's going to hit people. So we have to do what you need to do and come on and do and be able to fluctuate and deal with the situation. So it's something that affected people. It's something that's going to continue to affect people. And if people don't educate themselves and know what's happening, then there's going to be a problem with trying to feed these people off the FRESH program. And the FRESH program, like I said, in the state of Illinois, they gave some money for one-time benefits, but one-time benefits of $400 is not going to work when you got kids at home and you have to feed people and everything else. So, yeah, so this is it's a delicate situation, and it's going to cause harm, and it's already caused harm. And if people don't wake up and learn up about what's going on, then it's going to have a financial impact. And now people are already is going on 1 month without these possible benefits, and if the FRESH program from Illinois only gives them a one-time $400, then they're going to be looking to the churches and the food banks to be able to make a difference. But when you look at that, like I said, in March of 2025, they cut $1 billion, $500 million from the TFAP program and another billion from the FFAP program. So that backed up all the help that the food banks would normally have as a backup plan. So there is no backup plan, and people are going to go hungry and starve, and they don't care at all. So what's going to happen to people when the churches can't back it up? And if people have to continue to pay more money for food, and now gas prices at $6, and any discretionable income is gone, how are the churches going to be able to help people when people can't pay their... If they have to choose between light and gas bill, especially in Illinois during the winter, and then the gas is still $6 a gallon, and then the food is high, and they can't get... and they get cut off their food stamps, they're going to have to choose between paying those things to keep their house going or paying their tithes and offerings. And it's going to cause a conflict. And if the churches are not ready to be able to plan on how they're going to help it in coming together in partnership with the food pantries to get food out there, then it leaves God's people in a bad situation. It leaves the poor in a bad situation. And it leaves everybody in a bad situation. So how people are going to deal with those issues, how they're going to deal with those issues is my guess or your guess. And so what we've been doing here in California is we've been trying to work with the food banks and partner with the food banks and pool our food together to try to make sure that people are served and get their money that they need. Because here's the thing: the people who get their food stamps cut off and don't have anything to be able to feed their kids with are going to resort to a different type of things that people don't want to start talking about. And so it puts people in a dangerous situation. And then people have this legislation that was passed last July has been in effect for a whole year. So people have had a whole year to try to educate themselves, but they are so enamored with UFOs and whatever coming out of the current administration that they don't know what they're planning on doing to be able to take care of people and to being able to say, you know, I need to be able to feed my community, and so that there is not food scarcity, because there's no way that people are going to be able to deal with this situation. So and the thing is that not only are they going to cut off SNAP benefits, they're also going to cut Medicaid, which is health care for the disabled and everything else, in the next 6 months. And what they're planning on doing is they're going to put work requirements there for the Medicaid and everything else. And they're going to put them in the fields to replace the undocumented people who picking the fruit and everything else now. And it's mandated by the USDA that they're going to use that mechanism to be able to have people work for their benefits in the field. And Secretary Rollins, who head of the USDA, has already said it on camera, and she keeps quoting it, that they're going to have 100% workforce to work in those fields, and they're going to have 34 million recipients of Medicaid to work the fields. And I know I've given you guys a lot of information, but I can, if you got questions, I'll take them now.
Oh, my God. It's so much information. However, the clarity of it, you've made it clear, you know, that the laws have been passed, and we're going to have to abide by them. And if we abide by those laws that have been passed, a lot of people are going to be in trouble. Just like with the SNAP, the food stamps. If people got age 14 and under, or 13 and under, they're safe. But if they got
14 and under are safe, but But any kid from 15, 16, or 17, or 18 that's still in high school, their parents have to meet those work requirements.
The 80 hours working requirement are 80 hours of volunteer work. But they've got kids maybe 16 and 17, and then 10, 9, and 8. They're going to still have to leave their house, right, and go to work.
That's the thing. The parents have to meet those work requirements. So the parents are going to have to leave their kids who's already in a delicate situation by being home alone. The parents going to have to work those 80 hours at a job or 80 hours of volunteer work to be able to meet the requirements or they cut off of their food stamps. And listen, the draconian and oppressive part of it is the fact that if you don't meet those requirements, they're going to give you 3 months of food stamps. Like, you cover June, July, and August. And after those 3 months, they cut you off for 3 years. You can't get it for 3 years.
And so what are people supposed to do when they have cut those other areas that's been safety nets for the people, the poor, you know, and the homeless and all? Those safety nets have been cut, and if they lose that, they're in trouble. So people need to be aware.
Dr. Underwood, there are no safety nets because they cut those safety net programs a year ago in March 2025. They took $1 billion from reimbursing the food bank and Meals on Wheels and school lunch programs and everything else. So that means during the summer, they used to be able to give people SNAP benefits through the school districts for kids whose parents couldn't feed them because they weren't in school. So they give them one-time SNAP benefits on their card to get them through the summer until school starts so that they won't not eat. But now, because of the school lunch program, they are forgiving that because a lot of states don't have that money to give to that program. A lot of the red states, you know, like Tennessee and Georgia and Florida and South Carolina and North Carolina, they don't have those resources. Thank God that California have that to give to the parents that's going to automatically get through the school district. And Illinois just approved $11 or $12 million to go into that program. But what if? What after that? Because when people say safety net, they already cut $1 billion from that program a year ago.
Thank you. Thank you. Bishop, do you have any questions for Pastor Ted or Deacon Bobby? Do you have any? Thank you so much. Go ahead, Deacon
Bobby. You know, I read enough of Revelations. And this stuff that we're talking about now is just falling into place. You know?
Oh, yeah. You are so correct that Isaiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, it says, woe unto those leaders who legislate oppressive laws upon the poor, the sick, the downtrodden. You are going to have your place in God's judgment. And what's going to happen to them when your money runs out, when God's judgments come down? All of this is leading to the book of Revelation, and all leading to what they're talking about with Ezekiel 38 and 39 with nuclear war, when God, Magog, Hasatuk, Togarmah, Meshach, and Tubal all going to come together in Persia. Persia is modern-day Iran. Last week, Iran, China, and Russia did military maneuvers off of the Gulf of Oman. Those are the same three people who are supposed to be coming together in Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Gomar, did you say the coast of Gomar?
The Oman.
Oh.
M-A-N.
Okay.
It's a level of water outside the Persian Gulf.
Okay.
The Gulf of Oman.
Okay.
O-M-A-N. And so all of these things are supposed to happen, and we didn't know in the eschatology, which is Bible prophecy, we never know when those things was going to happen. And we said, well, that couldn't happen. when the United States and Israel was not part of that coming together of the nations. And so now Ezekiel 38 and 39 talked about that, and we never knew why it was going to happen. But now, we know now because of all the things that occurred in the past year under the administration. And the best thing to get to enslave people's mentality and control them is to take away their options to be able to feed their children and their families. And that's going to lead to famine in the land.
Famine in the land.
Which leads to the black horse, the white horse, and the red horse in the book of Revelation.
And I just want to say, for those who are hearing this, I always say it, even on Facebook, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. I mean, you know, and there's no other way out of it. And if he can do things that I've seen him do in the Bible, he can still do it today.
But we need to know our role, Deacon Bobby.
We do.
What is our role? Because Jesus said it is finished. He's put it in our hands to be able to bring the kingdom come, help the kingdom come, and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's still in charge. But, you know,
he gave us a responsibility when he was the disciples, and he said, if they are hungry, feed them. If they are naked, clothe them. If they're in prison, visit them. Those were not suggestions. Those were mandates on what we should be doing.
Hallelujah.
Take care of the poor, the sick, the oppressed, the widows, the orphans. Right?
You're right. So thank you so much. You can stay on. Deacon Bobby and Bishop is getting ready to do the Sunday school lesson for tomorrow. But you can stay on if you're unable to. I know you're very busy, Pastor.
Actually, the good thing is me and my crew we just picked up some bread from the store to give out. And we just picked up some fruits and vegetables that we got to drop off. So we're trying to do our part in taking care of the people who are in need.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you.
Okay.
You have a blessed day, sir.
All right. Okay.
Bye-bye. Hallelujah. At this time, thank you, Lord, for that information in Jesus' name.
We only have...
Yeah, but at this time, it's, we have enough time for y'all to get into at least what the subject is, and whatever information y'all would like to share with the people. We have about over 10 minutes. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Deacon Bobby.
Okay.
Bishop.
The heading of today's lesson is Moses Prays for Mercy. And we're coming to you from Numbers, the 14th chapter, verses 11 through 24, and other related scriptures are Exodus 32 and 7 through 14, and Joshua, the second chapter, 8 through 11, and Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, 16 through 23, Joel, the second chapter, verses 12 through 17, Hebrews, the third chapter, 7 through 19. Time about 1443 B.C. Place, Kadesh. Is that 43? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to just jump right into this. Numbers, the 14th chapter, verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me, for all the signs which I have shewed among them, So at this point in the scriptures, God is upset with Israel. Long story short, he's upset with Israel because they are not, there's a lot of disobedience, there's a lot of murmuring, there's a lot of complaining. They're in the wilderness right now. And
yes, also in, also we see that in this particular verse, God is upset with Israel because Israel turned their backs on God and began to worship idols again in the wilderness. When Moses went up into the mount to receive the Ten Commandments, they began to talk to Aaron, and Aaron made a gold calf, and they began to worship the gold calf and said, "This is our God that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, and God is the one that showed the signs and wonders and brought them out of Egypt."
Amen. In verse 12 says, "I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." So God is essentially telling Moses that he's going to do away with this nation, Israel, and use Moses to make a mightier nation. So that's pretty bad, but that's what he's saying.
Also, we say, see when it says pestilence, and we know that in the wilderness, the serpents began to, God sent serpents, and they began to bite them, and they, a lot of people died from the snake bite, and God told Moses to make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole, and lift it up in the wilderness, and if anyone gets bit, and they look upon that image, toward that image, they would be healed. So the pestilence did come, and they did go through a lot of things because of their disobedience, but turning from God. And when they turned their back on God, God refused to be their God until they repent and turn back to him.
Okay, and mind you, this is Moses and God talking right now. Moses was very special to God. Okay, and then verse 15 says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them." So God delivered the children of Israel from the hand of the Egyptians. They were enslaved, was it 400 years?
Yeah, over 400 years.
Israel was enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years, but God used Moses, who was special to him. And who was the other person? His brother?
Aaron.
Aaron, his brother. He used them to deliver Israel from out of the hand of these Egyptians. And so Moses is reminding God of what God had did. He delivered them with a mighty hand.
Who is Moses? Moses is the male child that should have been killed at birth because Pharaoh had made a law that if the woman, when they had a child, if it was a lady, a girl, she should live. But if it was a male, they should kill, break his neck, throw him in the river. But Moses was in that time, born in that time, and his mother kept him hid for a number of days. And when she couldn't no longer hide him, she made a little basket and put it in the flags on the river, put pitch and slime on it so water wouldn't seep in and the basket sink. And Moses floated on the river in the flag. And when Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe herself with her handmaids, Moses began to cry. Moses' mom sent Miriam to watch to see what happened to Moses. Miriam was Moses' sister, and she was watching. And when Pharaoh's daughter opened the basket, she said, "This is a Hebrew." And she felt that God has a way of working things. Instead of her taking him to Pharaoh to be killed, she took him as her own son and raised him in Pharaoh's house. That means God was raising him up from that time to be a leader for the children of Israel. He was special to God because God trained him for the job or the task he had for him to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. So he was born in bondage, and he became in the king's house and lived royalty. And Miriam went, got her mother to nurse Moses, and Moses' mother got paid for nursing her own child. So God has a way of working things out, and Moses become grown, and he no longer wanted to be called Pharaoh's. He knew who he was. He didn't no longer wanted to be called Pharaoh's daughter's son, but he went out among the Hebrews, and he did something. He killed an Egyptian and buried him in the sand, because he saw a Hebrew and Egyptian fighting, and he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. The next day he went out, and there was two Hebrews fighting, and one says, you think you're going to kill me like you did the Egyptian the other day and buried him in the sand?" Moses said, "This thing is getting known, because Pharaoh, at once he found out, he would have killed Moses." So Moses fled across the desert for his life, and he went across the desert, and when they went across the desert on the other side, he was tired and weary. He stopped at this well and went to sleep. And I can't tell it all. There's too much to tell. But anyway, God trained Moses to be the leader that he was, to lead his people, because he first trained him by watching Jethro's flock on the backside of the mountain. That's when God spoke to him out of the burning bush and told him to go to Egypt and bring out his people. And this is what Moses is doing, and that's what it's talking about here. Moses was special to God because God trained him special. And as the scriptures say, many are called, but few are chosen. Moses was a chosen vessel. Okay.
I'm going to say one more. And at this point, Moses is reminding God of what God has done for Israel, because God is going to, you know, he's already made up his mind. He's going to do away with them. But Moses is, and you know, God is all knowing, but Moses is putting in a good word for the children of Israel and reminding God about what God has done for them. And then verse 14 says, "And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, of this land, inhabitants mm-hmm. of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face." He's talking about him, God, and his relationship with Israel. "And that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud, and a pillar of fire by night." So when God was leading the children of Israel, in the daytime it was a pillar of a cloud, but at nighttime it was a pillar of fire. He led them that way.
Amen. What happened is when Pharaoh found out that he had sent the Hebrews away, and they was waiting on them hand and foot because they were slaves, and he pursued after them, and he would have caught up with them, but he couldn't catch up with them because God sent an angel and between the host of Pharaoh and the Hebrews, and that Pharaoh couldn't get near